Good morning. I think I know everybody here in this group, but in case you don't know, I'm Glenda DiGiacinto, and I want to say good morning and thank you for coming. And if you're a guest with us, we especially want to have a very warm welcome for you, and so glad that you're with us. The book that we are going to use is The Marriage. First of all, I think most of you are familiar with it. The Marriage You Want, and you don't have to buy the book. Each lesson is going to stand independently on its own, and if you want to get it, great, but if you don't have to have it to be able to follow along with us. Now, Andy is going to do Chapter 3, The Friendship You Want, and next week, Christy and Tim in the back corner, there you are, going to team teach, and they're going to be front and center next week, and they're going to do The Passion You Want. And so, before I turn over to Andy, there are a couple of things I want to say about him, and I already warned him I might embarrass him. And he said, "Do you want me to leave?" I said, "No, I want you to hear it." And so, one of the things I've noticed about Andy, and you probably have too, you can't see Andy without seeing a smile. This man smiles, I mean, a lot. And that's one of the things that I admire about him so much. Every time I see Andy, he's got this smile on. Also, I want to tell you, in August, when our team met to develop the classes for the fall semester, well, it was the same week that Andy was over at the academy trying to get the cadets, you know, back in and rolling that week. So it wasn't like he wasn't busy, okay? So he was over there, and we were going to have our meeting around lunchtime. Andy came to our meeting. He was there participating fully in the meeting to prepare our lessons for this fall. To me, that spoke volumes. To me, his actions said, these classes matter. This church family matters. Our community matters. Marriage matters. And he is an elder. He was here and present and fully engaged, and was conveying he was looking forward to participating in the classes this fall. So now that I hope I haven't embarrassed you too much, but I saw a commitment on his part, and that's what we see in him and admire so much, as he's committed to his family, he's committed to his church family, and he also plays baseball. And they made the finals, and they're going to be playing at 12:30 today, and we know who we're rooting for. Okay, Andy, it's all yours.
Thank you, Glenda. That was very nice of you. Well, welcome, everybody. I think I gave everyone a handout, or at least maybe each couple a handout. If you would like to, at any time, I won't be offended, write down your answers to the top three questions. If we have time, I'd like to go around and have you share information that you're willing to, answering those three questions. And then the last two, I kind of thought that those were a little more personal. And so you can take that home as homework, okay? Just to try and apply some of the things that I would like to talk and discuss about from the book. Now, a little qualification here. About a third of what I've prepared for this morning actually comes from the book. And Glenda said that's okay. Another third comes from some other research that I've been able to find on friendship, the topic of friendship and marriage. And then the other third is just my perspective, okay? So keep in mind that, and I do want to share some of the connections I've been able to find in the Bible that talk about friendship, not necessarily in the context of marriage, but I'm going to do my best to try and put it in the context of a marriage, okay? So give me some leeway, some grace on my attempt to make that connection. So if you will, please bow with me. I'd like to start us off with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful morning you've given us this morning, for our classes, and ask that you bless all the classes from children all the way up to the adults. Help us to be receptive and just to be open to know that your word is in us, and that we can receive the word and to apply it to our lives. And when we do apply it to our lives, it will bring glory to you. So I thank you for the opportunity for our classes, and ask that you continue to be with us and worship as we give all praise to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay. Well, also, so Laura, do you want to pass this around or just leave them up front?
Okay.
So to put a plug in for our Reconnect weekend, next weekend, there's a little flyer. So if you haven't already signed up or if you're interested or if you want to just keep one for future reference, we'll pass these around. Okay, so start with a quote. A lot of classes I teach, I like to start with a quote just to kind of get you to think about maybe the topic that we're going to be talking about. So Samuel Richardson, who's an 18th century poet, novelist, English, says, "A happy marriage has in it all the pleasures of friendship and all the joys of love." So I thought that was a good way to kind of set the tone for the class this morning. I'd like to start with the icebreaker. Okay, so I've written the question up here, but if you can't see it, I'll read it. And I'm going to start getting your thoughts on this. Okay, I'd like for you, if you'd like, to tell me what is one thing you appreciate most about the friendship you have with your spouse. Laura?
Laugh together.
Laugh together.
I was going to say the same thing. I just saw the inside joke. And, you know, she had that special connection, especially if you've been married for a long time. So much. So many memories.
Laughter? Okay, that's a good part of marriage. Eddie?
So, the first off, being my mom is very shallow. So, no, don't take that in. And that can be that shallow. So I have, I think one thing that I, for one of the things that worked for me, I really love, but I appreciate Darren inviting me. Happened to every day. Is this pretty sure it looks okay? Right. Like every day, like if I didn't have Karen, I thought it was a horrible coming out.
We're late.
I went to that dream. My bedside lamp turned on. I run to the poker back. Every morning we get up, I really try to quiet, say good time, but not quiet, but that's not the few of us who try to. And my shallow answer is I love sitting on the couch and chicken watching football.
No, that's four. I'm sorry. Yeah, look at that. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good because we always hear Eddie's deep side, so it's good to hear the side.
My sermon's pretty shallow.
What else? What else do you appreciate about your spouse in terms of the friendship you have with him or her? Enda, let's hear it.
Yeah, I love to explore with him. We don't know what's going to explore over the next hill. We have this thing called Woods of Park, and we just go out and explore. And we have more fun. We never know where we're going to end up. And I like to explore with my best friend.
I can relate to that one because sometimes I'll come downstairs getting ready to go to work and Kelly say, "I know you're not going to wear that." You're right, I'm not. Tim.
You and wife together spend time together.
For Jason and I, we've both figured out how to listen to each other well.
I'm going to put that on top.
Yeah.
Listen to each other. I got a lot of being able to trust each other with whatever is going on.
It doesn't come easy. It takes time. It takes experience that you develop.
I think after 43 years, we've used better in terms of expressing appreciation. Simple thank yous, simple I really like what she did, that's why I can hear your ear through here, for an observation of, if I'm doing something, you should come. I really like how you did that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just been more frequent. It continues to happen more on the curb water as we did our time today. So that's good.
Karen?
I feel exactly fine. I know my name is safe on this phone.
To call out our newlyweds, or well, somewhat newlyweds. You guys have been married a couple years. What do you appreciate about each other's friendship?
Well, I was going to say common interest, kind of. Like, we do a lot of things together. That was both enjoy, but I would also say like the mundane tasks of, oh, we have to go do this or do this, but it's been fun.
Actually exciting. If those of us that have been married for a while think back to, you know, earlier on in our marriages, and the mundane things seem to be the glue that kind of keeps you together and looking forward to. Kelly and I had a young couple over last night. They used to sponsor her when she was a cadet, and now she's back teaching at the academy. She's like, maybe 30-ish, maybe? Close. They're expecting their first child, and just hearing them talk about the things they do just to prepare for the first, you know, the first child. The mundane, and they're so excited to talk about that. So that's really, that's real. And they talk about how real life is, you know, not just being a single person or an adolescent before marriage. All right, good. So we're going to try to hit some of these things, most of them with the exception of maybe the chicken wings. There's a lot that's, and keep in mind, this is not all for me. This is just my interpretation of the book that we're using, but also some of my personal experiences. I wanted to turn to Proverbs, because I think Proverbs teaches us a lot about friendship. When I read through these, in your minds, when I say a friend, substitute it with a spouse. And I think it'll make clear sense that it can be applied to friendships within the marriage. So in Proverbs 18 and 24, we're told that a friend is one who is constant and is closer than a brother. And if you have a brother or sister, I think it's the sibling that you're really close with, that says a lot. Because I think my brother would do anything for me. And to have a friend that would go that extra mile, be constant in one's life, can be applied to a friend and a spouse. A spouse is one who is constant. And then in 17:17, a friend who loves all at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. You could read it as a spouse is one who loves at all times, and a brother who is born for a time of adversity. And then skipping down to Proverbs 27:10, we're told that a friend is loyal to old friends of the family. Suppose we can say a spouse is loyal to old friends of the family. I'm glad no one's raising their hand asking, what does that mean? So I'm not sure what that's getting at, but one of them mentioned that one. And then before that, in 27:6, a friend is faithful no matter what, and is willing to be hurt to help others. And your versions might say something different, but I thought that was a good one. A spouse is faithful no matter what, thick or thin, and is willing to be hurt to help others. You see that in our spouses. 28:23, a friend is willing to wait until later for thanks. A spouse is willing to wait until later for thanks. Don't need to be recognized, show the gratitude right away, but willing to wait till later, or maybe even not at all. It's not necessary. The point is, there's patience there. Then in 27:9, a friend is willing to give counsel and encourage others. someone said, listening, seeking counsel. If it's something really serious, in our marriage, a decision that has to be made, or not sure what to make out of the situation that we're facing with, I'll turn to Kelly and ask her, what do you think about this? And vice versa, if there's something on your mind that's serious, or ask me about what I think about something. So I think we see that a lot. A spouse is willing to give counsel and encourage others. And then in 27:17, there's many others, but I'll finish with this one. 27:17, a friend offers a different viewpoint that refines the other person. And this is the famous scripture that we hear with iron sharpening iron. We have that opportunity to do that with our spouses. Turning to some of the research, some of which is found in the book, The Marriage You Want, but it's actually validated by others. When I say others, people that have studied marriage, the union of marriage, the importance of marriage and friendship. And what they find, I'm generalizing this, they support the idea that quality of time together is just as important as quantity of time together. Shared life experiences positively correlate to relationship satisfaction. In other words, the more things couples tend to do together, tends to correlate with how they rate the marital satisfaction in their lives. Likewise, having qualitative, meaningful shared life experiences also correlates to higher marital satisfaction. So kind of get off this soapbox for a little bit. So I teach statistics at the Academy, and we just covered this correlation. Correlation does not mean causation. That's kind of the main thing that we're always preaching, but there's still something to be said about correlation. You're increasing the probability of thriving. I think Christy talked about that in last week's class, the top of the pyramid. I'll get to that in this lesson as well. But if we want a marriage to thrive, why wouldn't we want to spend time with our spouse? Why wouldn't we, if we're busy, like many of us are with kids, and jobs, life, why wouldn't we want to make the time that we do spend together of high quality? By doing that, we increase the probability that correlation coefficient is driven higher. So we increase the odds of a thriving marriage. Yeah, Lane.
That demonstrates one of the intentionality. We're intentional about it. There are times where I'll bring Lori with me to do something that I want to spend time with her. But what my activity is doing is taking away from her. So I bring her, incorporate her in it. So there's an intentional element there that is an investment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're alluding to, is that intentional, being intentional about that. Right.
Yeah. And reflecting back to the book, that's one of the main themes of this chapter, is to be intentional about your time together. You know you only have X amount of time this week with your spouse because of X, Y, and Z. So try to be intentional. Schedule time to have coffee together or watch a certain show that you like together or go to bed at the same time together, which doesn't always work for Kelly and I. And you guys know the Nike slogan? Just do it. Yeah, there's a subtopic in this chapter called Just Do It. Do life together. And part of that is to be intentional.
Did that Alan's instruction
include? that was. In Eddie's absence, yeah. Alan, yeah. Just do it. Point well taken. So, shared life experiences can certainly include things that we do, such as the mundane. Okay, the mundane. chores. The chapter talks about chores. His and her chores, if we were to be stereotypical or traditional, doing those together. I think last week Christy talked about, you know, when their kids were younger, all the activities they're in that have to divide and conquer, I think is the term. It's mentioned in this chapter as well. It made me think when I was reading through this part of the chapter, when we have our kids doing activities, we have three kids. There's only two of us. If I can use the basketball metaphor, when you play defense, you can play man-to-man. So if you have one and one, you can just, you know, I'll take Caitlin and you take Addie. But then you throw in Kobe in the picture. He's like, okay, there's three of them. There's only two of us. Now we have to go zone. Okay, so if two of the kids have activity downtown and one of them has activity up in Denver, one of us will just stay here and play zone. So divide and conquer, intentionality, doing chores together seems to work out well. Daily routines, whether it be in the morning, you and your spouse have your routines, or in the evening. The textbook talks about a sleeping routine, which is important, which I don't think we've accomplished that. I tend to be more of a night person, Kelly's more of a morning person. But we still work through that. And you have to be intentional, spend time together before bedtime, or when we get up and have our coffee together. It could be Bible study together. Yoga, those of you that like to get your yoga on. Exercise. Fix breakfast together. Watch the news. Weather, sports, lots of sports. So sharing in experiences that could be mundane. Let me ask this question. This is not on your question sheet, but it's very similar to number one. We're talking about daily routines and mundane. Who would like to share? You can have multiple people share. Share an experience of a mundane activity or date with your spouse and what you discovered about each other as a result of that experience. I should have brought like tokens or something for the couple that has the most mundane example to get an award. I saw a couple hands over here. It started Christy and then Lori.
Oh, okay. The most mundane we together to talk about. When we set it up. But what we learned about each other is that I want to see everything at Costco. Well, not everything, but I have all the, like a whole bunch of stuff. And goes in the list. And we look at what's on the list and then we want to leave. And yeah. So that's what we learned in our Monday Costco.
Okay. Yeah. I can relate to that. That sounds good. Sorry.
Sort of mundane. I mean, but it's routine. They love to watch the sunset. So we really time his evening so that he can get up and then launch in from our driveway and watch the sunset. And sometimes I get it and sometimes I don't. But I think that when we sit together and watch it, we get so much more out of each other just to absorb the beauty and the beauty in that moment.
Sounds good. Erin.
Monday to Friday, I have to make money. And I never know when I'm coming down.
Chicken legs.
On the most sweet moment. And there will be things in that moment that I never
don't give us any
idea. He makes me feel every morning that he loves my day to start off with that. He really does. And he's a happy morning person. And I come down to where I am. But he'll say, oh no, you're too early. Get up too early because he wants the coffee just right there. And he's the most creative breakfast maker. But sometimes I have to just go. sometimes I go, wow, you need to open a store, a restaurant. So that's something that from the end, maybe for other people, but breakfast time in our house is like an event.
This morning, she said, better let that out.
So you learned something about her. She doesn't not she doesn't like bacon in her muffin.
Just like bananas with her apple, yogurt, we're no bananas.
No bananas. See, Eddie's learned something from that experience as well.
That's good.
Thanks for sharing. Anything else? Okay. Yes.
We were just up in Everglades, and we took a back road because we were looking for elk. And so we took a road. We didn't see any in the meadow, you know, where they that big sign that says "Stop for Elk Crossing." Well, we didn't see any elk there. So we took a back road. I told him, I'm not ready to give up on my name. And so he just, what I know about my husband, he's got the patience of Joe and him. And so we took a back road and we wound way up into the hill. We found him, including baby elk. And he is so, he's allowed me to get excited over baby elk, or they got, how big is he? It's really going to be a family. He said, oh, it's over 3 feet. You know? And he'll let me just get excited about finding the animals. And so patient.
I can tell.
Well, I get excited about seeing God.
Yeah, it was a great example. So, I mean, mundane could be something as simple as fixing breakfast, to exploring. We got a lot of good examples up here, but I'd like to pivot a little bit and talk a little bit about the importance of support in a friendship. So the textbook, the Gregorys talk about self-soothing skills and co-regulation. I had to read through this a few different times, and I said, okay, I get it. So the Gregorys published this, and they've done a few other books. But what I could take from this, it involves some things that kind of reside in our subconscious. Anybody familiar with mirror neurons? Yeah. Okay, so if I were to stand up here and look around, now you're yawning, right? You see someone that you can relate to. Thank you. Thank you, it worked.
You up there.
Yeah. And you kind of feel that. You can empathize. You can sympathize with that person. So seeing someone maybe struggle that might be sad, your spouse, you feel that way too. You sense it. And so you kind of co-regulate, and then we have an opportunity to soothe the other person's hurt, to support them. So if your spouse starts to feel upset or reactive, the other partner, and this is a work in progress for me, just so you know, can help the partner cope and regulate by using a soothing voice. It can send a certain message that, hey, I'm here to listen, I'm here to care. I might not know exactly what you're going through, like hormones or something like that, but to try to understand what's going on, speaking in a certain tone can send a soothing message to your spouse. This falls in the category of non-verbal communication as well. So picking up on your spouse's cues, something's bothering them, something's preoccupied. I have to brag on Kelly. She can read my mind pretty well, so she can tell when something's on my mind. And talk it out, and I feel better. I'm back to smiling. I just know that she may not understand some of the stresses at work or whatever, but just to know that she has recognized that makes me feel, okay, I can move on and deal with it. And just she understands why maybe I might be preoccupied or something's on my mind. Something along those lines is a good example of this co-regulation, this notion of co-regulation and self-soothing. I thought that was a good point that they brought. Now, last week, Christy introduced the Gregory's model of living, thriving. Yeah, I thought that was good, and made the connection to Maslow's hierarchy of needs pyramid. Okay, if you're familiar with that, I think on your handout I actually have an image of that, relating Maslow's diagram to the Gregory's hierarchy of marriage needs. I wanted to come back, wrap back around, and talk about different parts of Maslow's pyramid that relate to friendship in a marriage. So from the chapter on the teamwork that you want last week, the Gregory's relate the Maslow model to the hierarchy of needs from Maslow, and they break it down until I have it right here, surviving, living, and thriving. And Chris has talked about the surviving aspect of a marriage, the physiological, the essentials we need to live, to survive. So it also includes safety, feeling secure, protected, having resources, morality. Those are all kind of Maslowian terms. But if you work your way up the pyramid, you see that there's love, belonging, and esteem. That's what I want to address in this chapter, as the Gregory's have some parallels here that can help a marriage thrive along the continuum of friendship. So friendship in a marriage is particularly aligned to address these psychological or emotional needs in the, as the Gregory's call it, the living part of their diagram. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. Not just true for the individual. Maslow is all concerned with the individual. You know, Abraham Maslow's theory was about the individual working through life, working through these needs, starting with the basics, the physiological, all the way up to actualization, self-actualization. But this is also true in a marriage and friendship within a marriage. So I thought I'd just point out a few things here, and if you have any thoughts, feel free to chime in. But if we start with love and belonging, these include things like family. You feel part of a family. That could be your church family. That can be our church family. Friendship. Friendship that you have with your high school friends, your college friends, friends you meet in your community, your neighborhood, your jobs, but especially your spouse, who's like your best friend. Friendship. Someone you trust. Someone you could go through life with, listening, laughing, explore new adventures, eat chicken wings with. It also gets into affection and intimacy, which I think maybe next week we'll hear something about that. But also social interaction, being plugged in to a community, life groups. I'm taking the liberty to extend these to these people. I think they do apply. They can apply. And then moving up the pyramid for esteem, that's one's self-esteem, feeling like you have purpose and worthy. We're told that in the Bible in many different ways, but to be validated and confirmed by your spouse goes a long way. Building confidence, respect of others, and respect by others are part of the esteem need, the psychological and emotional needs that will eventually lead us to thriving at the top of the pyramid, or self-actualization. If you're following Maslow, if you're following the Gregory's, that is the thriving part of marriage. And above all that, just to reinforce what Glenda talked about in the unity that you want and the teamwork that you want today, the friendship that you want, is having God intimately connected to both the husband and wife as well as the husband and wife. Yeah, so nice connection, the triangle helps to capture the esteem needs as well as the love and belongingness within a marriage based on God, based on the foundations, but also to have fun in life, to share that as a friendship. So what do you do to build the love and belonging needs of your spouse? what do you do to build the esteem needs for your spouse? Now, those are two applicable questions that you can answer on your own. You think about that and take that kind of as a food for thought. All right, so we have some time, and I would like to hear what you've written down on the top three questions on the handout. One question was, share an exciting, memorable date. We're all adults here. Keep it PG-13. That you and your spouse had, and what you discovered about each other as a result of that exciting experience. Tim.
Not too long ago, 2 months ago, Chris and I went up to Woodland Park. He had done a cotton ball with Chris and I. And he said, oh, we went to the local cotton festival to do a up there and do a little more cotton. And so, we did our own little mini cotton ball and went to some of the little shops up in downtown Woodland Park. And really enjoyed doing a whole lot of nothing.
And you learned, what did you learn about that, your spouse, about Christy, that context?
I think, I don't know that I learned anything specific about her other than we really just enjoy not having the agenda.
Sounds great. Any other examples? Exciting time, date, you enjoyed with your spouse, and learned something as a result?
So, I was pregnant with Abigail, and we went meat seeking, and we decided to bring the dogs with us, and we drove out to the meat. And I had one of our dogs that was just laying across from me, and I was being so frustrated, and I just lost it, and started crying. I can't even handle a dog. I can't handle a kid. And that knocked me off the ledge. But he was just so patient and like built me up and like took my baby off and wrangled them for me.
It's a great example. Bryson?
Yeah. I was going to say very many examples of Jason from the morning to the that I'm doing,
you can probably build upon that, especially if they start playing better. Yeah. I remember when Kel and I first got married, we were down in Starkville, Mississippi. I don't know if she's ever been to a college pro football game before. And we went to Mississippi State was playing Tennessee or something. And, she was asking a lot of questions. Not that I had all the answers, but I had to explain what the flag was. And I remember the offense, defense discussions. But now she understands the game pretty well, but we can actually have a conversation about football. Credit to her that, kind of like you're saying, Bryce, claims taking an interest in things that you like.
So I would say mine would be, we went to, I don't remember what year Jason would know, but we went to the Sweet 16 in San Antonio, and it just got
all of it. Oh, that's right.
And yet he was completely willing to sit in the gym with me for 16 hours and watch basketball for days. Not just one day, for 2 or 3 days. And just I was stunned to figure out that he was willing to make that much of an effort.
It really does say a lot. I mean, the last question I had on there was, what sacrifices are you willing to make in order to spend more time together? I mean, I see that in marriages that are, you know, as we live through our marriages, but eventually getting to the goal of thriving marriages. Very important. All right, number two, what social activities do you do like to do together and you both really enjoy? Any that you can share that show this sincere friendship in a marriage? Lane, what's yours?
We're in Europe, we're in a group setting, and we have the chance to go to Lane, the USA, and we're in the it's just, it was so cool that they lost the art together. There's just one thing of the French Revolution. And the foreground of painting is the Civil War going on. So on one side is the Confederate, and on one side is the Union. And they're basically in. They either dust or early morning or two. The battle hasn't begun. In the green state, both camps are agreeing about the that's the thing. So we're standing there watching, looking at the team, and she's seeing things that I'm just missing. And I'm seeing things that I expect to just get lost in that together.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. Yeah. To go to a, she's taking the wizard, by the way, she's and to go to a music group, which is getting lost in the story. Yeah. I just want
thanks, on Friday, we went to our daughter's concert with the Martin ensemble, and they had a co-display with two organs that they had, and it was magnificent in the cathedral, and the music was so pure and so amazing. And both of us, we could always close our eyes and let it hit, you know. And we talked about it afterwards, but that was as a really, really hard week. That was really a highlight of just the music to completely calm our spirit. That was really
Great example.
Yeah. So, what I was thinking about a little bit, even in our community, some of what we remember most, all the good things.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to find places to compare, because, you know, that's before GPS stuff. So, yeah. I mean, but realizing over all these years, like that one thing didn't stand out at the time. But we will be
That's a great point. Sometimes it's just unique to you and your spouse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One time I had a rattlesnake was down in Mississippi. Alligator bites. Just like chicken. They're good. Yeah. 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 That's a great point. And then I like the music too. So I know Kelly and I like music. We didn't when we were younger and our kids were younger. It was like, you know, Barney and Elmo. That was our music list. But now we get to enjoy concerts and we're going to go see Paul McCartney next week. We both are big Beatles fans. Yeah, looking forward to that. But yeah, it's good to share these experiences together. Yeah. It's kind of neat going to places like that and seeing people, you know, older than you, enjoying the same music you enjoyed as a child. Okay, so getting ready to wrap up here. And this is actually kind of a good plug for next week, if I may. So at the end of this chapter on friendship, I'm just going to read this with the Gregory say. And then I get to exit gracefully and turn it over to Christy and Tim. They say, at the end of the day, you want to be able to snuggle up to your spouse and say, I'm so glad that I get to spend my life with you. I had fun with you today. Whatever that, or whether that happens automatically or as a result of intentionality, it adds such sweetness to your life. And at the end of the day, you may also want to snuggle up and do something else. So let's turn to that aspect of affection next.